A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to Toon Jam. I am Matt.
And I'm J-Man.
And today we are talking all about Big Nate.
Big Nate.
That's exactly what I was hoping you would do. So if you've heard about Big Nate before, maybe you haven't. Let me tell you a bit about it. Big Nate is an American computer animated streaming television series developed by Mitch Watson and based on the comic strip and book series of the same name by Lincoln Pierce. It follows the adventures of the titular protagonist alongside his friends in sixth grade. The executive producers are Mitch Watson and John Cohen. Pierce is also collaborating with the producers for the show. It premiered on Paramount Plus on February 17th, 2022. In March 2022, the series was renewed for a second season.
Oh boy.
But it goes back further than that. Though it's out very recently, in 1991, the first year, Big Nate comic was published. Peanuts executive producer Lee Mendelsohn purchased the option from Lincoln Pierce to make an animated Big Nate television series for Saturday morning cartoons at NBC. Pierce was paid $5,000 to write a quote-unquote Bible describing the characters and outlining a few story ideas. However, the day after this deal was finalized, all NBC Saturday morning cartoons were cancelled, sending the series into development hell. So it's pretty big wave there.
Wow.
An animated Big Nate series was eventually scheduled to air on Nickelodeon. This was announced on February 19th, 2020. Nickelodeon's executive vice president of animation, production and development, Ramsey Ann Nato, stated that she had wanted to adapt Big Nate comic book series into an animated series for a long time. The series was originally planned to premiere in September 2021. However, in December of the same year, with the casting, it was announced that it would premiere on Paramount Plus in early 2022, later specified as February 17th. And then we got the new series on March 24th announced there. Fun fact about Big Nate in general, there is a musical. So there was a stage musical adaptation of the comic strip debuted at the Adventure Theatre MTC in Maryland. Story centers on Nate, who tries to enter his school's Battle of the Bands competition, but must try to avoid getting any more detentions, as too many would disqualify his band from competing. Critical reception for the musical has been positive.
That's cool.
So there you go. And apparently there was a short before a DreamWorks film you were telling me just before we started.
Yeah, Paws of Fury, I believe, is the film. And there's a little short there that's about a hamster or something that's Big Nate. But yeah, everyone seems to be that, like, this wasn't widely known, like it wasn't well publicized by by the studio beforehand. So
it seems like whoever's, you know, the authority on Big Nate on the internet is has just removed it from anything associated as far as Wikipedia is concerned.
They seem to be slacking, apparently, because a lot of people are saying, I didn't know this was a cartoon. Like, you know, a lot of fans. There used to be a lot of Big Nate fans out there. I've never personally come across it.
I think it's one of those American comic strips. And, you know, over here we tend to be, you know, until there's an animated thing of it, we don't tend to see much of those, really, do we?
No.
I suppose because they appear in American newspapers, I imagine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like I say, it's been around since 1991.
Yeah, that's it. And to be trying to get a TV series since then seems...
Yeah.
Like that's painful how long that's been in the works.
And it's an interesting point because, you know, this could have come out when we were kids.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We could have been big fans.
We could have been the Big Nate generation.
Yeah, but no.
But no, the baton is gone. So there you go. Big Nate, there's your info. But how has it been received? That is the question. So I have here an IMDb rating and a Rotten Tomatoes average audience score.
The audience score.
That's the audience score. So let's play Guess the Score. So first up, IMDb, what do you think the score will be?
IMDb, I think it's going to be 7.8. Okay. Quite high.
And what about on Rotten Tomatoes?
On Rotten Tomatoes, I think that may equate to 82%.
Okay, 82%. Right, so you said 7.8.
Yeah.
To begin with, for IMDb. The IMDb score... is 7.1.
Oh.
It's a little bit lower than you said. Still reasonably good score, I would say.
Yeah.
For IMDb. And it's only out of 401.
Oh, yeah, that's not a lot.
Rating. So, yeah, not a loss at all. And then we have the Rotten Tomatoes score. You said
82, did I?
82, something like that.
It was mere moments ago, but it's already...
Yeah. The actual audience score... is 94.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
The audience score on Rotten Tomatoes there.
Yeah.
So there you go. Quite well received, it would seem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So,
big fans of Big Nate.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, that's just a wordless score.
Yeah.
So as far as opinions go, let's head over to Twitter.
Yes.
What have they got to say?
Yeah, well, apart from the people who didn't realise it was a cartoon and the people that were shocked that it was the short at the start of Paws of Fury, we also have folks who have seen it. You know, what they're saying is we've got Aseo Chevix, probably you said that really wrong. Yeah, I mean, that could be like a Roman numeral 7 in there somewhere. So I don't know. Yeah, I'm sorry about that one. They say... the textures on the Big Nate cartoon are so interesting. I'm digging it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm.
Nice tweet. I think it's one of the first things you notice because obviously they've made it look like stop motion animation almost, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Not so much that you are fooled.
No.
But that's quite kind of what's cool about it.
Yeah, it's a nice, it's that kind of middle ground, isn't it?
Where
it's okay, yeah,
it
just sort of makes it feel a bit choppier and a bit more, like, energetic almost, really.
Yeah, and it does, and there is, like, the faces almost look like they've been painted on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, as far as textures go.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool bits and pieces. Like, it does look interesting. It's got a cool look to it, I think. We've got a photo mode user who says, I don't really watch cartoons anymore. But the Big Nate show, I might actually watch. It seems like it's just going to be mostly dumb fun. Exactly my style.
Now, I've got to say, that's an interesting tweet.
Mm.
Because if dumb fun is exactly your style, and fair play, you know, that's a good style to have.
Yeah.
But then surely, cartoons, got to be where you go.
Yeah, yeah. I know, where are they getting their dumb fun from?
Yeah.
If it's not not from an artist.
Who knows this person's situation, but maybe they're in the lost years where you start watching cartoons.
Oh yeah.
And they're just on the cusp of coming back into the cartoon world and being their entry.
Their renaissance is right around the corner. Yeah.
Their renaissance.
Oh.
Hey. But there you go. I mean, this is turning someone that, you know, from cartoons back into cartoon scene.
That's a positive. That's a real positive.
Yeah.
They're real, putting the net out there. We've got Rebel Taxi, who says, never heard of Big Nate before. So, I love how imperfect this world is. So many TV CG cartoons feel too smooth and clean, but this is the opposite.
Yeah, it's got that nice, again, that sort of animation style, I suppose, the art style and the textures and things.
Yeah, it's funny that like the cleanness sometimes comes across as like negative to some people. Do you know what I mean? Or maybe just the fact that that's kind of a look that a lot of people are trying to do. Like it's funny that, you know, we've now got sort of better tech and the idea is to now make that look worse. It's really interesting that that's how it works.
Like, but yeah, because you can do more styles and things with it and it changes. Yeah. And I would say, like, I guess when it comes to the clean animation now, that is being put out quite a bit. But you see it more in, like, you know, sort of preschool type shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's where it's like, oh, that is clean.
It's like, yeah.
It's almost like it's so clean that it's bad.
Yeah, too polished. Way too polished. Yeah.
Yeah, and enjoy, a good point.
Yeah. We've got Nunuvo.
Ooh.
Which is a cool name. who says, the problem with this Big Nate cartoon is that it's pretty wild and visually interesting, but just makes me want to go read the comics instead.
Always a danger with these kind of things, I suppose.
Yeah. I think that's it's always like fun when that becomes a problem almost. it's like not really a criticism. It's almost like it's actually doing a really good job of like promoting the source material. But at the same time, you're like, yeah, I just want to go do that now.
Yeah.
Like there's a few things like that where it's like you get the itch from watching a show, like, yeah, I want to go back to the book, or, you know, I want to go play the game, you know, like it's like, oh, it's quite cool.
It's doing the right thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's what's interesting with, you know, with sort of shows like this, and I guess you can see why the people, you know, like the Peanuts team might have picked it up.
Yeah.
It's a similar sort of, it's more like a modernized Peanuts.
Mm.
Then it's weird because, you know, those comic strips, you know, aren't really intended for kids.
Yeah.
They're not like, you know,
adult.
Yeah, it's not like they're R-rated or anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, the humour and stuff is really based at like, you know, parents, I guess, older generation, people that read the newspapers and stuff like that. So, and then they make these and it's for kids. But, it's not a bad thing. But then you can see why someone might be like, I would rather just go and read the comics because maybe that's more their cup of tea. Because you get a glimpse, don't you, at the end of the episode.
They
show one of the comic strips.
Mm.
And it is like, oh, yeah, I can see. Because you kind of wonder what it would be like, don't you, when you're watching it, if you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, I can't imagine what a little comic strip this would necessarily be like. Then you see it at the end and you're like, oh, it makes sense now.
Mm.
So, yeah, an interesting point, though.
Good point. We've got Cloudy Toons, who says, watching the Big Nate cartoon, and honestly, the show is way more chaotic compared to the comic. I love it.
See, there you go. Yeah, the same sort of point, really, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good one. Yeah. Chaos.
It could be a thing of, like, you do find as well that the current, you know, theme of, especially, you know, shows for kids nowadays, chaotic is sort of the trend.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's that short attention span, isn't it? The, you know, the YouTube ruination of our, you know, attention spans. The kids have just grown up with that.
Yeah, yeah. And so you've got to kind of, like, make the stuff work for that, haven't you? Like,
yeah.
you've got to cater to that sort of audience. And then finally, from the Twitter quotes, we've got Grimoire Virtue, who says, "Why is the lighting in Big Nate cartoon so damn dramatic? Better ray tracing than Uncharted 4.
I like the... is that a dig at Uncharted 4? Or is that...
I think so, yeah. Unlucky Uncharted 4.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was just a thing that that's the bar.
Yeah.
Uncharted 4.
Yeah, ultimate ray tracing Uncharted 4. Actually, no, Big Nate.
Yeah, it's got really dramatic lighting. I mean, I didn't notice it myself, but I wasn't looking out for it.
I did. There were a few moments where I was like, oh, the light in here is pretty cool. I like what they've done here. Very fun.
I suppose it gets better as the
episodes go on.
Yeah. And it adds to this sort of, you know, they're trying to make it look like claymation or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I suppose the lighting is a big part of that, isn't it?
Yeah. It is pretty important sort of thing. And like, it's another thing that like, if that is done wrong, then everything goes wrong.
Yeah.
Like, everything looks bad if the lighting's terrible. So yeah, I think they did do a good job. Like, yeah, overall.
Yeah. Pretty, so there you go.
Kind of look.
Sucking yeah. Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
Get back to your box.
Get out.
Get out of town. Right. Okay. Well, there you go. So that's generally favorable reviews there.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty. And like, I think everyone seems happy with at least some aspect of the show.
Even if it's just the comic strip.
Yeah. Still a win, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. No, nothing like really negative, I would say.
No.
So there you go. So let's dig in. The going back to sort of the textures and the animation style.
Mm.
Like obviously we just said, it's really good, isn't it?
Yeah, I really like the look of it. What they did.
And we sort of like we handed out loads of praise to Maya and the Three recently, and you can kind of hear that in both our episode about it and in the Toon Jammy Awards. But I mean, this is kind of a different kettle of fish because that was like a mini series.
Yeah.
And you can kind of push loads more into a budget on a mini series. This is an ongoing series.
Yeah.
Where they've now got a season two. It just seemed almost unprecedented that it should have such good animation for what it is. It just looks so cool.
Yeah, I think they've just settled on a really cool look that it must be like, you know, fairly like user friendly, I guess, as far as like producing that amount of shows goes.
Yeah,
it's got a nice. I think I do wonder like what would it have looked like if they maybe kept the frame rate, you know, sort of normalized. Like, would it have looked too clean? Because I think that choppiness, that kind of like, you know, that stop motion energy almost like. It does make a big difference. Like it makes the characters like feel like they come out a bit more. Like it sort of enhances actions and it makes it feel a bit more fun.
It adds humor, doesn't it, as well?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
There's a slapstick element to it that just, you know, without that frame rate wouldn't be as funny.
Yeah, because like when you go back to like the old sort of CG stuff and that, like if you think of like Jimmy Neutron or whatever, where it was like we were trying to make it look as like, as you know, as Toy Story, as like as studio like top CG as we could for a TV series, and then but like you look at that back at that now and it feels a bit like weird, like because not only because it's old and we've kind of got used to better stuff, but like it is trying to, you can tell it's trying to be as clean as possible. It's trying to be smooth and whatever. And like this, like maybe won't date in the same way. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, oh, well, you know, that look will always be like, well, yeah, we're just trying to, this is what they were trying to do and they did it sort of thing. It's, I think it's smart as well going forward because it's very unique to the show. I don't think it will date it. It just adds that little bit of flavor to it when you watch it. It's like some of the actions that they make, some of the, you know, the movements and stuff, some of the stuff the characters do, it's like just enhanced a little bit by the fact that it's it's a little choppier and stuff. So, yeah, I think that was a really good choice. Like,
yeah, definitely.
It might save them in cash as well. You know, half the frame rate is half the amount of sales you have to do. Yeah, so you know, probably a smart all round decision, I think, there. So.
Yeah, it is, and it's just like looking at it. Like, you know, I'm looking at a few stills of it now over on the IMDb page. And just things like there's a sofa he's sat on that just genuinely looks like, it looks like it's made of fabric.
Yeah, yeah.
And like it's hard to even tell that that's not a real thing. It looks like CG over, is like a CG person is sat on a genuine piece of fabric there.
Yeah.
It's just stuff like that. I mean, we must be getting to a point and you kind of feel like you're almost endangering your own words by saying it, but you get into a point where it's really, you know, CG is getting very impressive. Like it's always been impressive at the time. But you kind of wonder, don't you? Like, you know, in so many years time, could you make this look any better really?
Mm.
Because it's a cartoon at the end of the day, and how much more realism could you add to it?
Yeah.
You know, quote me again in 10 years and laugh at me if you want.
Like, you didn't think we could get more realism.
Yeah, it's so impressive. I mean, you look at like Toy Story 4 in comparison to Toy Story 1, and it's just remarkable.
Yeah.
At least as far as, you know, animation is concerned.
Yeah, but I think as well that there's parts of it where they're not trying to do realism, are they? Like a lot of the faces and stuff, they've got cartoonish elements to them. So I think striking that balance is really the thing that makes something sort of step out on its own, because it's like with realism, like you say, it's you aiming for, you've got an end goal there, haven't you? And like no one's really, you never really get in there. Like, you know, I mean, again, maybe 10 years in the future, you'll laugh at this, but it'll be like, because we'll have achieved it, and it will just be, you know, it's like, yeah, everything just looks real. But in order to make it sort of an iconic looking show, you've got to find those lines and choose where to, like, you know, make the decision to change it up and stuff. Like, because I think it was really cool, like what they made look real and what they didn't. Like in this one, there's a kid who was like really snotty. You know, his nose is like running all the time and stuff.
Dandruff
and that. And there was like the snot just looked so like horrible and gloopy, and like he was like translucent, and like he was like, oh, it's so nasty looking every time it was there. But it's like if they'd made that cartoony, it wouldn't have like, you know, the same effect. But it was there was a bit of realism to the grimness of it, and that really helped, I think. Like that was really cool.
And I think it's also, you know, we have watched certain programs that, you know, maybe still looked really good, but didn't pack the punch as far as anything else was concerned.
Mm.
And it does take the shine off it a bit.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, what was that one about the sort of wooden peg characters?
Oh, A Crossing Swords.
Yeah. Was that wasn't stop motion, was it?
No, I think that was CG.
That was CG. And to be fair, it actually looked really good. The fact that I've just had to ask you if that was stop motion.
But that's where we are. That's where we are.
Yeah, but we really didn't like that show.
No.
As far as content. Whereas this, I think this, you know, it still had, you know, had charm. The characters were, you got who they were pretty much straight away.
Yeah.
They weren't necessarily stereotypes as well.
Yeah.
Which you do tend to see a lot in these kind of things, but they were just kids.
Yeah, it was good.
And it felt like it was that classic, you know, we've talked about this recently where, you know, those kind of, you know, the Recess and shows like I guess like Peanuts as well. It's just about kids at school.
Yeah.
And we've not had that in a while. Whereas this pretty much is that return, and it does make for a good show.
Yeah, I think this really, you know, it really did that sort of era of things justice, really. Well, I mean, I guess it comes from that era anyway, but it's just they've taken this long to make the show. But yeah, you do sort of, you quite kind of remember it all as you're watching it, and it's like, yeah, you know, like it feels like the whole world just revolves around those school days, you know, like there was only there's only like what, maybe one scene that wasn't in the school, you know, like, and so it was like everything, like your whole world is school, and it's just your friends, and you know, like what happens there, like the consequences of school could just be like, you know, it means everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Like your school is your universe at that point. And I think this really, it did that. Like it felt like that's what was happening, sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And it did it well, and in a nice way that, you know, I guess like at the time, like when I was younger, I hated school.
Hmm.
But when you watch shows like this, you kind of remember the good stuff about school.
Yeah.
And I always think if it can do that, you know, then it's doing it right.
Mm. Yeah, because as a kid, it's like, oh, yeah, actually, you want to go to school because I want to do weird stuff like this.
Yeah.
And... or you dream that it could be something like the stuff you see in TV shows. Yeah,
and I always wonder what it must be like, because there's always that divide with these kind of shows when you grow up in this country, or I guess in any different country, where school is so different over here than it is in America.
Yeah.
So no matter what, you don't really get that same sort of, you know, you watch it and you think like, oh, like school in America looks well better.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, it's probably no different, really. You'd feel exactly the same way about it, I imagine.
Yeah, probably. But don't know. Maybe they love it.
Yeah, maybe. But like, I think because of these kind of shows, because it's like, you know, any shows, it's like, you know, you start to think, yeah, that would be cool. I could do that. And, you know, all you've been doing is watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine, so you think you could be a detective, you know, something daft like that.
That's it, yeah. Yeah, like any sitcom, it's like, oh, I'd love to work in.
Oh, this is a great place.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this does well. And I'm glad it's kind of back. But also notice, guys, the 30-year rule.
Oh.
This was, the comic strip was made in the 90s.
Mm.
They tried to make a show, didn't. But then when did they make it? 30 years later.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying.
They'd overshot their window to do it.
We had to wait.
And wait the full 30 years.
Yeah. Like, if you don't get it straight away, you've got to wait the 30 years. That's the rule.
No, there's no, you can't do it in between. It won't work.
It just won't work. No one will care. It'll be like, this is outdated, my friend.
Yeah.
Or ahead of its time.
It was funny that there was big like 80s movie references in it and stuff as well. And so it's just like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone gets this that's watching. Like the kids won't know what this is from. Like,
and a weird cameo from Jack Black.
Yeah, very strange.
But, you know, always welcome, I guess.
Yeah. How did you get on with the humour of it?
Yeah, I thought it was all right. I mean, it didn't blow me away, but, you know, again, it felt like a really cool kids show. Not necessarily even kids, but, you know, young show. Mm. There were bits that did make me chuckle.
Yeah.
Definitely. And there were bits that, you know, you just kind of gloss over. But, I think it had a nice enough feel that even if you didn't laugh, you're enjoying it.
Mm. I think on the whole, it was pretty good humor wise. Like, like, you know, not all of them were like laugh out loud gags, but generally, like, the tone of it seemed to be on point. Like, it sort of knew what it was, and I think it did that really well. And yeah, there was some like definite like little bits that did crack me up, like just people getting wailed on and stuff was pretty funny.
Yeah, and just stuff like his, you know, the gym teacher having like PTSD and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, which apparently are jokes that are like, you know, the level of jokes in the comics apparently are more like that. There's lots more kind of like weird adult content and stuff.
I think to be honest, this is the kind of show where the more you watch it or the more it'll find its feet with that, with its humor and stuff.
Yeah,
and know where to go. But, you know, it's got to be for kids as well. Like,
yeah definitely
stand that going in, I suppose.
Yeah, good balance, I think. Good balance.
Yeah. But yeah, it was very fresh. It just felt fresh. I think the biggest drawback to the show, to be honest, is just the fact that it's on Paramount Plus.
Oh, yeah.
They've really, like, and it's kind of annoying because, you know, it's a Nickelodeon show.
Mm.
And they were going to do it on Nickelodeon, but obviously somewhere down the line it got pulled back and said, no, we want to put this on Paramount Plus. Which I think is probably the same with, you know, the Rugrats, the new Rugrats stuff.
Right.
To sell Paramount Plus. And I think you're setting these shows up for, you know, not necessarily failure, but
But failure, yeah.
Yeah, in a way, like it stops them from stops them from achieving everything they could, doesn't it? Like,
I mean, you waited 30 years to have an adaptation of your show that was a popular comic like generations ago,
yeah.
And then it's like, yeah, we're only putting it out on this like one new streaming service that not a lot of people have got. It's
yeah,
like, why? Yeah. Why did we wait?
It's just, I mean, there's been a second season queued up, which is good, yeah. But yeah, it just, you know. It stops. It basically blocks it from a wider
having a bigger audience, yeah, doesn't it?
And this is like, it's a problem we keep coming across, really, isn't it? Especially with the new shows, it's just like, you know, I don't think, I mean, especially with stuff like this, do these kind of shows really sell the streaming service even?
Yeah,
because you know, kids or I suppose kids want to watch them, so it's the same way as selling toys and stuff. But then, you know, I always think that like. Unless it's a big show that everyone's talking about, this is why Netflix cancels everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It just doesn't really work in that way. Like,
no, I don't know if one show or even just, you know, a handful of shows is enough for people to then get an entire subscription service, like, you know, perpetually either. Do you know what I mean? Like, you need, like, a huge library for everyone to be like, okay, yeah, it seems worth it, as opposed to, like, I'll watch two shows and then that's it.
It's right. Like you're looking at it the wrong way, aren't you, really, like at that point? You need, obviously, you want, I mean, Paramount is pretty new, so it's hard to say what people are going in for. But they've got, like, Star Trek and big shows like that. Where they've got pre-existing audiences, so that's probably their biggest
market, I suppose.
Netflix, you've got shows, obviously, there's always something people, I suppose, at the moment, Stranger Things is, like, the one that will bring people in.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got stuff like that. But then, yeah, you need to have all this other stuff because otherwise people are just going to watch it for a month and then cancel it.
Yeah.
Which is the way people sort of view it now, which it's a shame, really. It doesn't, you know, these shows, it's like you just end up, it's the same with cinema, you know, you just get the blockbusters and these shows don't really last.
No, which is upsetting, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, especially if you're working on the show, it's got to feel a bit like, you know, disheartening when it's like, oh, well, this is where we're putting it out after all this time.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man. Like,
especially when you thought you were putting it on Nickelodeon or, you
know. Yeah, yeah. Like, you must think like, well, at least a lot of people are going to see this at the end of the day. But you immediately cut the audience down to a fraction. That's like, oh, man.
Well, that's it. Like, if you imagine some of the biggest cartoons that have been going, stick them on a streaming service instead of the way they came out. So something like The Simpsons or SpongeBob or something like that.
Yeah.
Instead, it released first on a streaming service. Would it become what it is now?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we don't know, but I don't think so.
No.
Because they just wouldn't. They wouldn't get the same numbers no matter what.
No. We're living in a weird future, aren't we? Strange time.
Strange times, exactly. But yeah, I mean, to go back to Big Nate as a specific, it is a shame that it's not going to get that, you know, audience that I think it should do. And therefore, it might not, after 30 years, it might not find that place it should have done.
That's it. Well, I have to wait another 30 and then re-release it again.
Yeah.
in augmented reality. Or
rules are rules.
That's it. Yeah. That's the only way it can be done.
Right. Okay. Well, we've talked about it. So let's move on. Let's give our final reviews.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Okay, so this is show pitching. The date is 2052, and we need new shows.
Yeah. Right?
And we need new styles. We need to bring out our streaming service into the forefront of you know, modern animation.
Yeah, we you know, we've been trying some cool, we want to do some big ideas, you know, because it's like we want to set ourselves out from the crowd, you know. And you know, last night I had a crazy idea, you know. Okay. I thought this might be it. This might separate us. This might separate the wheat from the chaff, boys. And I thought, you know how you know, we had the back in the, you know, 20 something years ago, we had that bit, the Big Nate. We had Big Nate, and it was
Big Nate,
you know, the frame rate was like, is like half the usual, you know. We got about 12 frames per second.
That was a fantastic show.
It was a great show, yeah. I mean, not a lot of people watched it because it was on, you know, we obviously held it on the streaming service for a long time.
You got to think, man, this is, you know, this was 30 years ago. We're perfectly on key to bring that back.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's the perfect time and the only time, if you ask me.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
I mean, we got to wait for another 30 years if we don't release it now. So you're right.
I mean, so we could do that. We could do that again. But what if we take the frame rate from 12 frames per second? And I mean, that was a great feature of the show, that it was kind of choppy.
Yeah, really janky, like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What if we take it from 12 frames per second down to 11 frames per second?
Oh, wow. I mean, you're crazy.
I thought of it last night, and I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if I was just, you know, having a crazy moment, or. But is that crazy, or is that good?
It's both. I'm telling you, that's exactly what we need. It's got to be even jankier. I mean,
even jankier, right?
You've got to bring it. You know, I've been doing some research. Obviously, we're doing animation. We need to make stuff for the kids of today.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Kids of the 50s, you know what they love? Everything really fast. Okay. The average YouTube video is 3 seconds long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now get this. To go furthermore, the average attention span of any person in this day and age is 1.5 seconds. If you don't hook them in 1.5 seconds, they're not going to watch all 3 seconds of your film.
Of course. And I wasn't listening to what you were saying at all. I completely lost track of what you were saying. But yes, to what you were saying.
Well, I mean, all you need to know is that you've just proved what I was saying right.
I think so, yeah. And so, therefore, we need it to make these things irresistible to people, you know, whether you're paying attention or not. And I wasn't. But so I think what we could do is maybe we go even more extreme. What if we go down to 10 frames per second?
Oh, man. What about this? Okay. I like what you're saying.
Okay.
We're doing a new Big Nate.
Yeah.
We're calling it, Little Nate.
Little Nate, of course, yeah. He goes big, but then he goes back small again.
Yeah, it's like kind of a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids thing without any shrinking.
Yeah.
And then we've got that, and then what we do is we do it as a slideshow.
Oh.
And then you can show everything that happens in an episode.
Yeah.
Within the 3 seconds that we need.
Yes. Yeah. There'd be virtually no movement at all. You know, it's so the frame rate's so slow. It's like someone said something. It's like, oh, hey guys, what's going on? No movement.
No movement. Guaranteed laughs.
Guaranteed. That would be so funny. So funny, but because no one wants. You don't want what 60 frames per second, 120 frames per second.
Oh.
I mean, who wants that kind of fidelity? I mean, what is this? Uncharted 8? Disgusting.
Tell me, have you seen the ray tracing in Uncharted 8?
I think it's disgusting, but I'm not sure if it's fantastic.
It's either really disgusting or really phenomenally good.
It's incredibly whatever it is.
Either way, that's the bar, and we've got to go higher.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Little Nate.
Little Nate. 8 frames per second.
8 frames per second. Minimum.
Minimum.
3 seconds.
Yeah.
And ray tracing beyond anything Uncharted has ever done.
We've got a show. We have got ourselves a show.
Okay, well, we'll put that into installation and I'll see you again in 30 years. Okay, so here at Toon Jam, we have a 3-point rating system that goes as follows. So, thumbs up, coming back in to cartoons after your long stint out of cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
We're back, baby. Oh, boy. Welcome back. Thumbs down, the modern decimation of our attention span. And shaky middle, the status of the ray tracing in Uncharted 4.
Mm.
So, thumbs up, good, thumbs down, bad, shaky middle.
Not I'm really just sure not sure on that one.
So, okay, Big Nate, episode 1, your thoughts.
Yeah, this was, immediately it seems like quite a fun little show. Definitely got a cool look to it. Liked those textures, liked that lighting. Really liked that, the choice of reduced frame rate. And the look of the characters is cool. I think there's a lot visually appealing about it. And then as far as story-wise goes, I thought it was really fun. And I really appreciated that. Again, you felt like you were back in school, and you know the world was kind of coming down on you from just a perspective of you go to this class and then this class, and then you know you might have a brief stint in the corridor, but that is your world at that point. And we've got a lot of interesting side characters and stuff, and yeah, it felt like the tone of it I thought was cool. They had those little bits where you know Nate would look down the lens and talk at you, very like Malcolm in the Middle East or whatever. it's like, oh, there's just loads of cool little additions to it that made it seem like it's its own thing, combined with cool elements from everywhere else. And yeah, like it made me laugh. I was grossed out a couple of times. There was a lot of fun, a lot of intrigue. And it's something that, like, I think I could probably sit and watch a bit more of this. Because it has that feel of the old, maybe just for remembering what it was like to be at school almost. Just like, oh yeah, this is, I remember this, I remember what it felt like to be a young child and have classes. So yeah, there's definitely something there about it. I didn't really, trying to think of something that I didn't like about it, but there really wasn't much. I mean, it's even got, you know, bonus nostalgic references for those that need a kick from the 80s or whatever. So yeah, lots to like, I think, about Nick Big Nate. So for me, it's going to be a thumbs up. Big Nate thumbs up. Yeah,
Big Nate, big thumbs.
That's it.
What they say. Yeah, I mean, I'm inclined to agree with what you're saying. There's, you know, there's not really much negative to say about it. The art style is amazing. The animation style is even better. It's, you know, a joy to look at, and from the frame rate to the textures are all really good. The characters are enjoyable. It does give you that school time feel, which is really good. And for saying it's, you know, a series, it holds to a really high standard overall as well. And it's nice to see that, you know, Nickelodeon are still putting out really good shows for kids. But I think in a way it has an old school Disney Channel feel to it. I don't know why it does. I think because it's more school based, and obviously the Nickelodeon, especially the Nickelodeon we know, is more like ludicrous nonsense cartoons. But then I suppose there's like Doug and stuff. But yeah, it does. It has like a, you know, not like a sort of realism that you can relate to. The school kid stuff, and I think whether you're at school or whether you've left school, there's still something you can be like, oh yeah. And it's nice because those kind of stuff always remind you of things that you've kind of forgotten about as well at school. So yeah, I mean, just overall a really good show, and I hope that it does take off. I would recommend anyone watching it.
Yeah.
Because it does have the potential to be the kind of show that this generation would remember and, you know, really enjoy. So yeah, thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Excellent performance.
Look at that. Big Nate.
Big Nate.
A's across the board.
There you go. So check it out. Big Nate. Good show. Maybe you don't agree with us. Maybe you do and you just want to tell us that you do for, you know, just for your own peace of mind. you can do so on the three diaphragm rates of the internet. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Toonjam Pod. We also have all our previous episodes over on YouTube, which is again Toonjam Pod, and you can check out bonus episodes over on our Patreon page. You'll find us under the same name there. Don't forget as well, if you want to get yourself some crazy Toonjam merchandise, well, you can do that as well over on bit.ly/Toonjam Shop. Otherwise, all that's left to say is thank you so much for listening. And until next time, you stay jammy.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening. If you want to help the show keep going, you can be extra jammy by heading over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/toonjampod. Here you can get a shout out on the show or unlock bonus episodes. Ratings and reviews anywhere you listen to the podcast also really help us out. So thank you. And stay jammy.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.